Now we turn to Ken Matthews on the Rush Limbaugh program.
Thrilled that you are listening to the show today. Hope you're having a great Thursday. Don't forget about RushLimbaugh.com. All kinds of goodies there. And the big story today, so many, but the biggie is an anonymous hate essay from deep inside the Trump administration that the New York Times expects us to believe is credible, but they wouldn't give the person's name. And it pretty much goes through the same darn script that they've been pushing since 2015. I'm on the phone with a former Pentagon official who served in the Trump administration, part of the National Security Council, Mr. Rich Higgins. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Hey, Ken. Great to be here.
And thank you for using your name like a big boy. That's a big
You're
adult
welcome.
Thing to do. That whole thing, you know, you wrote a memo that was, I thought, brilliant about political warfare and the narrative, and you called people out on this a year ago. Set the stage. Tell us what happened.
Well, I think it's really important people understand that the president is fighting for, you know, the core constitutional and American beliefs. And his entire election, you know, and use your political science terminology, was counter-revolutionary in a way, right? We're going to make America great again. It's opposing these forces that are taking America away from its essence. And you look back over his election, and it was about bringing back the Constitution, bringing back the rule of law, bringing back production capitalism, you know, moving away from just a pure Wall Street approach to understanding the financial world. And he is opposed. And, you know, the people that oppose him, you know, all live within about 20 miles of where I'm standing right now.
You know, you put in your memo the three main themes of the narrative. And I know that Rush's listeners, you're going to hear this and you're just going to light up, because this is pretty much the framework of the Democrats for the last, and I would say the establishment, that Trump is illegitimate, Trump is corrupt, and Trump is dishonest. And how, in your opinion, do they go day after day, month after month, to keep fueling that machine?
It's a classic political warfare technique. I mean, what the president calls fake news is, you know, if this was 1983, we'd be calling it propaganda. And what I write here is simply, you know, it's things I learned working in the national security community. That's how I was able to perceive this so early, is it, you know, it was clear, it was crystal clear to folks like myself that something was wrong. And I think once we started doing the diagnostics on it, it was clear that this campaign plan is as laid out in the memo, and, you know, people who want to read it can Google Higgins memo, it'll come up. You know, what they do is they create these supporting narratives, and then they create these backdrop narratives, and the backdrop narratives have been laid in place over 50 years. It rides on this backbone of this political correct, you know, worldview. And so they basically just pound the president relentlessly with this, and have forced him into this, you know, reactionary posture in terms of his communications. The thing is, though, and what I find is absolutely mesmerizing, is President Trump is a force of nature. And, you know, he has something that the anonymous author of this memo just doesn't understand. And as a former military person, and all the other military people listening will get this, the president operates off of commander's intent. He may not use the exact words, the exact terms of art that, you know, perhaps a military commander or an intelligence officer would use, but his intent is well known. And when people are complaining about that, it just shows their immaturity. So the person who wrote this letter, to me, just, I mean, he's very immature, and, you know, I hope he gets caught.
Well, I'm sure that they're going to out him. Let me ask you this. From a security standpoint, you've been in the security community, the national security community. Should this guy be outed, and should there be some type of penalty for the content of that note, or was it just the rantings of a child?
I think just talking about the memo gives it a credit it doesn't deserve. It's poorly written. It reflects just a fundamental failure to understand the strategic nature of the oath that they took to the Constitution when they were brought into office. It's all it shows. And the person, if any, you know, if the person does have a security clearance, that should definitely be pulled from them. Whether or not they lose their job, I frankly don't really care. It's irrelevant. They've shown what they really are made of.
Well, the whole comment about he's playing this heroic role with some of the other people inside the White House, I would think that if you were genuinely of a heroic person, personality, you would go to the president first, and if that didn't work, you would go public, as you did, and said, hey, I think there's something doesn't smell right here. Here's all the details. Here's my name. Here's my background. What do you think? This guy did just the opposite. There's no detail at all.
I think that this guy is setting a narrative that he'd hoped to utilize to, and this is where the New York Times jumped on board, to create some sort of a rift between elements in the Republican Party going into the midterms. That's really what they want. They want to make the debate and discussion about, you know, the deep state and all this other stuff, what they as a move away from the president's, and they are substantial, the president's accomplishments, which we need to remember, he's done this with the overt direct opposition of the media, the overt direct opposition of the intelligence community, the overt direct opposition of the Democratic Party. But the worst of all is that he's had to fight his own Republican Party on so mm-hmm. many of these issues, and he's succeeding in spite of it. You know, and I think that's what the New York Times is hoping that this memo does, is it moves us off of that discussion. You know, here we are 60 days or so from the midterms.
Well, when you look at the achievements, that is, like you said, that's one of his biggest. President Trump does, and this is something that I don't know from the military, but you do, and that command presence that he has and that command intent. But he also does something that a lot of great leaders do, and he does it better than most people. He does not leave the plan. No matter how bad a day, he gets it done. Every single day, stuff is getting done. The Congress is setting records under him for getting things accomplished. It's not just the economy. It's not just raises for the military. It's not just dialogue with China and North Korea. This guy, every day, he gets his to-do list done while having to defend himself from weenies in his own party.
Weenies, you're being kind. Yeah, he is an intuitively strategic person. I think that the media has just, they've just beat him to death. It's ironic. I mean, I was a boy at the time, but I remember them using the same arguments against Ronald Reagan back in 1983, 1984. I was probably 11, 12 years old at the time. And, as I watched the president move forward, I mean, if I got to tell him one thing he needs to pay more attention to is some of his personnel issues, as it's highlighted in this memo, he could use a little bit more direct engagement on his personnel issues inside the White House, close to his wire, simply because you can't have the fox in the hen house, not close and proximate like this anonymous author claims to have been. I think going forward, there are things that they can do to fix this, and there are, like you said, long-term solutions and short-term solutions that can be applied, and I'm pretty sure the president is moving in that direction right now.
Now, for people just tuning in to the Rush Limbaugh Show, we're talking to Rich Higgins, a former Pentagon official who served in the National Security Council. And then in July, I believe, you were dismissed by McMaster's. Is that correct?
Correct.
And now where did you go from there? Because I noticed you didn't write a whiny memo and anonymously publish it, in the Inquirer. What was your next move after that happened? Are you still in the security industry or?
Still doing consulting work in the security field, both private and public sector customers. I largely work in the area that touches upon the subjects brought up in this memo. And the reason I think I see this stuff where other people didn't or saw it earlier than others did was because I was mentored by guys that are in their 70s and 80s now who actually fought the Cold War and understand this type of subversive behavior. Whether it be ideologically driven or politically driven, it's still the same in terms of its tactical presentation. And it was clear to me that not everybody in the White House grounds was on the president's team.
What I want you to do, Rich, if you don't mind, would you stick around? I want to do at least another segment because I want to drill a little deeper, not only into your memo, but what we as voters and Trump supporters can do and what we can expect, how this is going to unfold. So would you stay with us another segment?
Sure thing, sir.
Great. We're talking with Rich Higgins on the Rush Limbaugh Show. I'm Ken Matthews, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to the EIB Network.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
This is the Rush Limbaugh Show. Glad you're listening. The number's 800-282-2882. Stacks of calls from around the greatest country in the world coming up. 800-282-2882. My name's Ken Matthews, sitting in for Rush today. Always a pleasure to be here on Premier Radio Networks and the EIB Network. I'm on the phone with Rich Higgins, a former Pentagon official who served as recently as a year ago on the National Security Council for the Trump administration. He put a memo out a year ago that outlined what's called the meta-narrative. It's part of what many believe the left is doing in conjunction with the deep state. Do you think they're getting help, Rich? Do you think there's people within the media that are looking for this type of essay and memo? Do you think there's people within the media that are, they're almost on call? They get that call from the Trump hater and they're ready to publish.
Absolutely. I think that, you know, we've seen this going back to, you know, the inauguration where, just unprecedented in American history, transcripts of the president's phone calls being leaked. I mean, just absolutely incredible in a willing and eager media happy to feed the establishment monster.
Well, they certainly treated JFK and Barack Obama differently, didn't they? I mean, they didn't even vet Obama, and JFK was like, you know, who are all those people heading into the White House at 2 a.m.? I don't know, but it's not our business.
the good thing is folks like yourself and Rush, the service you've provided is invaluable because, you know, Trump supporters see this now. The president has forced the establishment, including the media, to tighten their grip on power. And in so doing, more and more people are now seeing this. I'll use an anecdote. My mother is a Blue Dog Democrat from Massachusetts. She's in her, you know, late 60s now, and she is an old JFK Democrat, but she told me a month or so ago, today John F. Kennedy would be right of, you know, Ted Cruz. And that's how far the country has drifted to the left. Folks like you are voices out there crying against where the elites are trying to take the country, and Trump is the political manifestation of that. And I think what you see in the media is this massive information warfare apparatus being brought to bear. And now, you know, the social media world is devices closing there as quickly as they can close it because they recognize that those social media platforms allowed the Trump voters to network at a level and to share and communicate and they couldn't control it. So now we have Facebook and Google and Twitter now, you know, coming forward to say we're going to shut that down. And you see senators, you know, Republican senators not asking folks like Jack Dorsey the hard questions. But why they're doing it, you know, what's pushing this, and who benefits, right? I mean, it's the age-old question. You know, as I look back on this, and it was a while ago I wrote that memo. It was May or April of last year. Mm-hmm. You know, the president is not a politician. And if we continue to expect them to act like a politician, we're going to be disappointed. He was elected because he's not a politician and because he speaks truth to power. And sometimes his perception may be different than we would normally expect to hear. But if you accept him for what he is and you execute his commander's intent, he's shown through his incredible economic revival and other successes that he's, you know, basically going down a checklist, checking off, that he could do the same here on a lot of our domestic policy issues. For example, the Obamacare debacle, you know, his promised infrastructure, which is, you know, it's not infrastructure in the traditional Democrat sense. It's infrastructure as an investment in the future of America, mm-hmm. for our children and grandchildren. And I think we need to understand how he sees the world. I mean, he loves this country. And for that, the left hates him.
Do you believe that the anonymous essay writer that the New York Times published yesterday is a security risk to the United States?
I believe writing anonymous op-eds is cowardly, and I believe he's probably violated some security protocols in so doing. But I have to tell you this. If he's working in the White House or in a position of trust to the president, there is without a doubt he is executing subversion, without a doubt. Now, whether it rises to the level of treason, the Constitution makes that a really high bar. But, you know, is he guilty of subversion? Is he guilty of sabotage? Is he guilty of other crimes? My guess is this isn't the first thing he leaks to the New York Times. So, you know, there are There are means that can be applied, and they'll find out who it is. Now, whether or not that ever becomes public, we'll see. But they can find out who it is if they want to.
Well, it does make you wonder about the leakers. My other question of concern would be, and you know this from your security background, you think there are more of this individual. In other words, do you think there was an office full of people at 2 a.m. in the morning toasting him and cheering him on, or how do you think this is going to unfold?
I think that we've focused too much, perhaps, on the FBI and Operation Crossfire Hurricane, and that similar things, you know, not as extensive as Crossfire Hurricane was in the FBI's efforts to take out the president. But we can assume there are similar, I think it was Senator Johnson called it, quote unquote, a secret society, which is perhaps an unfortunate name because it sounds conspiratorial. But let's say other cabals in other government organizations that are doing the same type of thing. And, you know, one of the things that the president needs to move on is cleaning up these institutions. I mean, he was elected to reclaim these institutions for the country instead of this, you know, constant leftward political cultural Marxist drift that we've seen for the past 30 or 40 years.
Rich, I want to thank you so much for taking time out to talk with us on the Rush Limbaugh Show. And before you go, can you give the website or the location where people can find you and they can find the entire memo so they can review it and see what a real memo looks like with detail and facts?
The easiest way to get the memo is go to Google, type in Higgins memo, and you'll find about 10 iCloud links to it. You can also go to the website, Unconstrained Analytics, and it's hung on there as well.
Well, thank you very much. Keep up the good fight, and I hope we can talk again soon. This is the Rush Limbaugh Show. My name's Ken Matthews on the EIB Network. We're right back.
You're listening.